thankful for God's Spirit. The book of Genesis chapter 45. And I beg you tonight to hear me out. God birthed this message in me in a troubling time, and I do realize that we do not add or take away from the Word of God, and everything that is written in the Word of God is there because God wanted it there. And so I'm just prefacing that for where we're going. I'm going to take a scripture and I'm going to show you what God showed me and ministered to me through my life. And I believe God wants to help us tonight. Can we do that? Amen. The book of Genesis chapter 45. And if you would like to put your finger on Isaiah chapter 22. Hallelujah. What an honor it is to be back here. Give honor to Brother Marshall. Love and appreciate him. Respect him very much. The book of Genesis. I like this charger up here. Whoever had this idea was great. Because either my iPad or my phone is always dead. You're the man. That's what I'm talking about. I've went to the pulpit with I think 4 or 5% battery on my iPad before. And I'm sure you wish I would have had that this morning. Amen. But thank you for, amen, your time. I promise you it won't be that long tonight. In the book of Genesis chapter 45, verse number 9, the Bible says, "Haste ye." This is Joseph sending a message to his father, Jacob. "Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell with me in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty." Joseph tells his daddy, "God has blessed me. He is second in command in Egypt. There's no reason in suffering in Canaan. Because of this famine, I want you and your family and everything you have to come join me in the land of Goshen. And I'm going to nourish thee and take care of you the rest of your life. Because if you stay in Canaan, you're just going to turn to poverty because of the famine that is so bad." What a good idea. Isaiah 22 and 23, this is probably not going to make a lot of sense. Amen. But it's a very familiar passage of Scripture, verse of Scripture. But just to make my title make sense, I'm going to read the first half of this. The Bible says, "And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place." He said, "I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place." And what I really feel from God tonight to preach to you good people is this simple thought: planted in a sure place. Somebody say planted in a sure place. Hallelujah. Why don't you lay your Bibles down and lift up your hands. And I want you to thank God for His Word. Thank you. Oh, God, I want you to talk to us right now. Oh, God, I want you to move for me right now in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your power and your mercy that we fill in this house. But now, God, I want you to move in a supernatural way in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, I love you. God, I thank you. Hallelujah. I wish you'd begin to worship him right now. Come on, I wish you would lift up your voice. I wish you'd begin to clap your hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah, who is worthy, who is due. Hallelujah, of our praise. If you know that God is going to show up in this house and help you, I want you to give him some high praise. And say, God, I thank you for the spirit of prayer that we have felt in this house. But right now, God, I want you to know that I'm thankful for prayer. God, I can still lift up my voice in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Oh yes, you ought to do that again. It feels good. Come on, you ought to shout hallelujah until you feel something moving in your spirit. Woo, hallelujah. God, I'm thankful for this house. God, I'm thankful for the house of the Lord. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated all over the house, planted in a sure place. My God, I want to be planted in the house of God. Hallelujah. I said, I want to be planted in the house of God. I don't want to be in a flower pot. I don't want to be able to be moved around. But when I gave my life to God, I wanted him to plant me. I want to dig roots in the house of God. And when I made up my mind to come to him, amen, I didn't come just for a few years. I didn't have plans of backing out. But what I did, I sold out to the sure place. Amen. You can't find nothing more sure than the house of God. Everything else is going to crumble. Everything else is going to fall away. Everything else in this world is going to turn back to dust. But the house of God, amen, God's church is going to live forever. That's what I want to be a part of. I don't want to plant myself. Well, I don't want to plant myself in the world, amen, to die and wither up. But I want to plant myself in the house of God. Hallelujah, the house of God is a sure place. Somebody say a sure place. Amen. It's a place where you can come no matter your problems, no matter your situations. God's house is always going to be sure. No, I'm not sure how they do it up here, and I know this is like Tornado Alley, correct? And I know y'all, if we have them in Mississippi, you got to have them somewhere around here. But we have some things, some shelters. I mean, we have storm shelters on major interstates in Mississippi. I mean, they were built out of stone, thick walls. I mean, there are shelters that'll be able to withstand F5 tornadoes and up to 200-mile-an-hour winds of hurricanes. It's somewhere you can go when the weather gets bad. It's somewhere you can go when you feel like you're in trouble. It's a shelter. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for this house today, that when I'm hurting, I know that the house of God's still going to be a sanctuary. I know that the house of God is going to be my refuge. I mean, the word sanctuary means a refuge. That's what I want to be a part of. I want to be in the house of God. I'm in a sure place when I'm hurting, discouraged, beat down, depressed, addicted, bound, or tormented. Amen. I know this one thing. If I can get to the sure place, it's going to be all right. If I can get back to the house of God, God's going to work it all out, because I know his word's never changed. It's forever settled in heaven. And if this has been a refuge in the time past, it's still a refuge right here in 2020.
Hallelujah. If you need a Savior, you can find Him in this house today. You need to find repentance in your life. You need to turn away from an old lifestyle. You're in luck tonight because you're in the sure place. Hallelujah. There's still repentance going on in the house of God. You need to be baptized for your sins. You need to go down in the name of Jesus. Well, you're in luck because you're in the sure place tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. You need the Holy Ghost. You can receive it in the sure place. You need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You can receive it in this house tonight. If you haven't spoken tongues yet today, amen, you need to speak in tongues before you leave this house. Hallelujah. Before you leave this high, this sure place, amen, you need to make sure you break through your flesh. You need peace in your mind. Thank God that His house is always consistent. Thank God it's a sure place. And when the storms of the enemy are raging, amen, you can slip back in the house of God and you can be in the sanctuary, a mind of peace, and you can feel the love of God all over you.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. I love God's house. That's why I'm planning my entire life around God's house. Because I love His house. Not just for His benefits, but I'm telling you, I have fell in love with God's house. I love coming to God's house. The Bible says, one thing I've desired of the Lord, that I may seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. Psalms 122:1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's somebody that knows they got a sure place. Amen. If someone's got to drag you to the house of God, you don't have a revelation in God's house. Amen. If you can't be faithful to God's house, you don't have a revelation of how surety this place is and how God will work. Amen. But when you have that revelation, you'll say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Amen. Forever. Hallelujah. When I got the Holy Ghost, this was a forever thing, Brother Marshall. When God pulled me out of a world of darkness, this was a forever thing. This wasn't a fling. This wasn't something I was just going to go through. This wasn't a phase in my life, but I completely sold out, amen, to the house of God. Amen. We got to make up in our mind tonight that we're going to live for God the rest of our life. Hell, you got to make up in your mind. I don't care who backslides. I'm not leaving the sure place. I don't care what life throws at me. I'm not leaving the sure place. No matter if the preacher steps on my toes, I'm not leaving the sure place. I want to plug this in. Thank God for a real man of God that'll tell you what you need and not just what you want. Thank God for a man of God and not a hireling. Hallelujah. Thank God for a man of God that'll preach without fear and without favor. Thank God for a man that'll call sin, sin, and tell you that sin will send you to a devil's hell. Hallelujah. Well, this ain't in my notes, but this is good preaching. I don't understand people when they feel like they get offended. Amen. Because the pastor drew a line, or the pastor set the standard for the church, and they say, well, I'm just going to leave God. What in the world are you thinking? Thank God for a man of God that is trying to get me to heaven, that I'll preach without fear and without favor, and he'll say it's holiness or hell. Is there still any holiness people in the house that say, I love God's house. I love being holy. I love this way. I love this message. I'm not interested in any other church. I'm not scared to be apostolic. I'm not tying strings on the pulpit. Well, hallelujah. 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 I just want to tell you, if my first pastor would have been a hireling, Dallas DeMoss would have backslid a long time ago. Hell, thank God through my teenage years, I had a pastor that loved me enough to set me straight. Wow. Well, that's how you know somebody loves you. I don't know. This don't even fit my message, but this is good. I like this. Is there anybody that loves preaching tonight? Do you love real preaching? That'll say, except you repent, you likewise perish. Except you live a holy, righteous life, you're not going to make it to heaven. If you don't speak in tongues and you're not full of the Holy Ghost, when God calls you home, you're not going to make it. Come on. If you can't fall in love with God's house, you're not going to fall in love with heaven, honey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't understand it. I don't understand it why people, amen, feel like they're...
I better not say what I'm about to say. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. I said, woo!
People don't know how to wait on the Lord anymore, Brother Marshall. They feel like life's so busy that as soon as they get to the house of God, they got to look at the clock. My God, is he going to preach? How long is he going to preach? My God, it's time for somebody to fall in love with a sure place. Hallelujah. You better never let life get too busy that you can outrun God, that you can't stay with the house of God. It's, I'm going to be here until it closes, honey. I'm going to be here until the glory falls. You want to know why? Because I love God's house. You're not going to drag me out of God's house. God brought me through too much to cut one service short. God pulled me out of too much sin for me to not get in the Holy Ghost one service. I love God's house. I couldn't imagine my God not coming to his house. Woo, hallelujah. And hearing the preached word of God, how can you be saved without a preacher? I want to tell you, if you don't have a pastor in your life, you will not be saved. If you're not paying your tithes to a man, you will not be saved. You got to fall in love with God's house. You got to fall in love. It's a come hell or high water. I'm not leaving. I'm sticking through the thick and the thin. I'm going to be here when we're high, when we're low. Because I'm telling you right now, right here in Sepulpa, this is Canaan land. Right here in this church, this is... You better plant yourself in this church. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel apostolic boldness on me right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time for somebody to plant your... Whoa. I'm going to knock that off. You want to know how someone's planted or not? Look at their finances. Where are they giving the money to? There's where you'll find where somebody, well, that ain't good preaching. Amen, that went over like a flock of dogs. But I want to tell you right now, amen, if you can't give when the offering plate comes by, you're not planted in the house of... If you're not investing, you're not in love. Hey, this ain't even my home church, but every Sunday night I'm putting something in the offering because I want to be invested, because I want to fall in love with God's house. Hallelujah. And some of us wonder why life's going the way it's going. It's because you're not in love. It's because you're not planted. Done stirred up a hornet's nest in this house. Hell, I'm telling you right now, the devil won't like this kind of preaching. But if you're really in love with God's house, you'll say, keep on preaching, preach. You'll say, I believe what the man of God's preaching. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You You want to know? Come on. You want to know? I know every situation's different, but you want to know how somebody's, you want to know how somebody's planted or not? Look who comes to Saturday Outreach. Look who comes and investing in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And I know it's her only day off. I know it's her only day of the week. But my God, every now and then, we got to show up and say, God, I'm invested. I know we can't do it every week, but my God, we got to get invested. We got to get invested. We got to love God's house. Hallelujah. If you really believe this is a sure place, you got to fall in love with it. Woo, hallelujah. My God, hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. You want the windows of heaven opened up in your life? Start investing in the kingdom of God. Seek ye first God's kingdom. Seek ye first the sure place. The only ones that get this revelation are the ones that are planted. Somebody say, I'm planted. You ought to say it with a little oomph in you. I'm planted. I'm not leaving the house of God. Oh my God. Woo, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. God, you ought to worship right now and say, I receive it. You can either say, oh, amen or oh me, but it's the word of God, and I'm going to live it. Thank God for somebody that'll bring it home where I'm living. Hallelujah, but we got to love it. We got to invest in it. Amen, we got to fall in love with it. Hallelujah. Because this is our Canaan land. This is, you can be seated, this is our Canaan land. You hear me? We got to take care of Canaan land. We got to fall in love with the promise. The devil had this way. This church would have shut the doors a long time ago. But we got to take care of Canaan land. God, I feel the Holy Ghost. We got to fall in love with this. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you what pastor needs. Well, me and him hadn't talked about any of this. Amen. But I've been doing this long enough to let you know. Let me tell you what pastor needs. What pastor needs to know is that you're 100% on board. I'm telling you right now, God forbid that my man of God has to wonder where I'm at and where I stand. Hallelujah. But pastor, I'm submitted to you. I'm submitted to the work of God. I'm submitted to the house of God because I want my life planted. Because if you can't get planted, the next generation, you won't even have seed sprout to fall in the house of God. And when there's a church that has nobody planted, it's a church that withers up. It's a church that dies out. Funerals run them out of the house of God. But I'm telling you, God forbid that happens right here in Sepulpa. Hallelujah. But we got to take care of Canaan land. We got to take care of the house of God. Hallelujah. 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 You can't drag me out of the house of God. I just feel this right now. We'll get back to the notes in a minute. But I'm telling you, you can't drag me out of the house of God. Because let me tell you something, when you get planted, when you get those roots deep, my God, that sure place will walk around with you every day of your life. My God, you become the church of the living God. The church of the living God's not these four walls, it's you and I. Get the revelation. But you, when you get fall in love with the house of God, you fall in love with the Spirit of God, you become the church. You're the only church some people's ever going to see. And you got to be planted. You got to be sold out. You can't be wishy-washy. You can't, because I'm telling you right now, the devil loves people. Amen. That's playing hokey-pokey with him. Got one foot in and one foot out. That's not going to make it in the house of God.
Well, come on.
You You got to get planted. You got to get planted. You know why troubles are coming to your home? Troubles are coming on every hand. It's because you're not planted. You got to sell out. Young people, sell out. Young people, buy the truth. Sell it not. Sell it not. Plant it, plant it, plant it, plant it, plant it. Get the word in your heart. Get the word in your spirit. Fall in love with the word of God.
My God. My God. You got to get planted. The Bible says that hell is as large in itself. Hell's growing every day, honey. And if you don't keep growing those roots, you don't get in unity. I'm telling you right now, when you start planting yourself in the house of God, there's unity that comes on you. There's unity when you connect with a brother and a sister. There's unity when you connect with the man of God in your life. Rooted. You got to get rooted. You got to get grounded in the house of God. You got to get to Canaan land and say, I'm not leaving. You got to get to Canaan land and say, I'm not leaving. Oh, come on, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Amen. I have all the scripture to prove it, but I know we prayed a little while and time's running late tonight. Amen. But I'm going to drive a point in this house tonight. Some of us, we need to get planted in this house. You can look in Genesis chapter 12. The Bible called Abraham out and he sent him to a promised land. What was that promised land? It was Canaan. You can look in Genesis 13. It said Abraham dwelt in Canaan. You can look in Genesis 16. It says he dwelt in Canaan for 10 more years. Amen. He had his family in Canaan. There was troubles that came to Canaan. But I'm telling you, he was in the will of God. The biggest lie. Young people, you want to know, hallelujah, the biggest lie the devil ever tell you is that, oh, when you come to the apostolic church, you should have no more worries. You should have no more problems. Absolutely not. That's the biggest lie he'll ever tell you. There's problems that come, but you got to fight through them. You got to grow through them. My God, you got to grow through them. Through the pressures of life, you got to grow. Through the pressures of life, you got to grow. Pressure. Living for God is not going to be just peaches and cream every day. There's days that there's going to be pressure on you to backslide. There's going to be pressure on you to be influenced by the world and by your peers. But I'm telling you, if you can reverse that pressure and let it become a pressure cooker, and when you get in the house of God, and you just blow up for God every service. I'm telling you right now, if you can reverse that pressure in your life. Pressure's not all a bad thing. What the enemy thought for evil, God meant for good. Your troubles are not all for evil, but it's for your good. And we hit on this a few weeks ago just a little bit. But I'm telling you, it's pressures. I mean, if you'll turn in the right direction, it'll thrust you forward. And it won't just be a setback in your life. I read an article several years ago that's just coming back to my memory right now. I hadn't thought of it in a long time. I read an article on lobsters. And that lobsters' shells don't grow. You like that, don't you? What a random article. I know. Lobster shells don't grow. But what has to happen is the lobster and its soft tissue begins to grow, and there's pressure that becomes on that shell, and it goes under a rock, sheds the shell, and has a new one. And if he never had the pressure, he'd never grow. If everything was just perfect in your life, you'd never grow. You'd never dig with God. You'd never get planted deeper in God. And the first storm that came by would knock you off your wagon. But I'm telling you, you got to have these pressures to grow. Everything that Abraham went through when God pulled him out of a world of idolatry and a world of idol worship and a world of lust and everything he was going through. I mean, life was not easy for him.
Amen. We see many years of his life, amen, fighting to trust God over having a son and making wrong decisions with Ishmaels and Hagars in his life. Life wasn't all easy. And then finally when God gives him a son, he almost has to sacrifice. Life was not easy, but he was still in the promised land. He was still growing with God. He was still growing. Somebody say he was growing. And that's what we have to do. We got to grow because there's struggles that will come. Amen. We see Lot chooses the wrong path and goes to Sodom and Gomorrah. And he don't go to Canaan. We see the things. Amen. When people make the wrong decisions. Amen. We see that finally Isaac has Jacob and Esau. And amen. There's this pressure. And, amen. His sons trying to kill each other. Amen. There's pressures that are going to come with the house of God. Amen. We see the struggles between Leah and Rachel fighting over the love of Jacob in their life. Amen. There was pressures that come in the house of God. And the enemy wants you to use that pressure for you to run out. But what God wants you to do is to use that pressure, amen, to grow deeper in his house. Because if you don't grow through this storm, there's going to be another storm that's going to be worse. And it's going to knock you back. But I'm telling you, you have to pass the test. You have to pass the trial that you are in. Because I'm here to tell you, Brother Marshall, I have not been through my worst trial. I have worse battles coming in my life. And I'm telling you, I was born for this. I was born to grow through this. And I don't know how. Well, I'm just going to tell you how life works. I'm almost 26 years old, a few weeks from 26. 20 years from now, 46, I have some major problems. If God tarries, there's some major issues that are going to happen in my life. I don't have a clue what it's going to be, but I'm telling you, there's no way I can make it. I'll backslide and I will blow up. Amen. If I don't work through the pressures now, work through, build, grow and plan in my life. But we got to grow through this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just because Canaan has pressures don't mean you leave. You got to plant yourself in this sure place. You got to fall in love with this sure place. Hallelujah. Praise God. And this is what I want to get to. And I'm hurrying to a close, but I tell you, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. But really what I want to drive home tonight is see, I explained to you, and I know I've been through Genesis several times in this revival. Amen. But what I've tried to explain to you is from Genesis 12 to Genesis 45. Amen. The people of God were in Canaan. And there was struggles after struggles after struggles. Heartaches and setbacks after setbacks. There was problems. But finally, there was a little famine that came to the land. Well, there was the famine that came to the land. And God used Joseph to raise him up, amen, as for mercy that God showed on Egypt, that they wouldn't all just die in the famine. But Joseph writes his daddy a note. He said, I want you to come. I want you to dwell in Goshen. You can't stay there. This famine's too sore. Can't stay. Can't stay in Canaan. You got to come. You're going to die. My brothers are going to die. My family's going to die. All your cattle, everything's going to die. You got to come to Goshen. And I know everything that happened in the Word of God happened for a reason, and it's right. And I'm telling you, amen, but let me give you what God gave to me. Amen. The word Goshen just means drawing near. I don't want you to come to Egypt. I just want you to draw close to it. I just want you to feed off of it a little bit. We all know that the word Egypt, amen, Egypt is symbolic to the world in our day right now that we're living in. Amen. But the devil wants to try to get you to leave the promised land. Amen. Just because this is another battle don't mean you have to leave. Amen. Just because this is another struggle don't mean you have to leave. And see what the enemy wants you to do. He don't want you to full-fledged backslide. He don't want you to leave. He wants you to come to the house of God every few weeks. He wants you to just come back and get a little taste of it every few weeks. Amen. But you're backsliding as a goose. You're backsliding in your heart. Amen. If you're not faithful to the house of God, but he wants to let you come just a little bit. He don't want you to full-fledged go crazy. He just wants you to come to Goshen. He wants you to feed on what the world feeds on. He wants you to look at what the world looks like. He wants you to do a little bit of what the world's doing. But I'm telling you right now, church, saints of the living God, God. We cannot go to Goshen. We got to stay in Canaan land. We can't change our message just to look a little like the world, to draw a few more in. But we got to draw the line straight. Amen. We got to preach it right.
Hallelujah. Oh, my God. The Bible says, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. Thou shalt be near unto me and thy children and thy children's children and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee. For yet there are 5 more years of the famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. My God, I want to tell you something tonight. Judah was there. Anybody know who Judah was? Judah was one of Jacob's sons. He was still in Canaan with his father. The Bible, I'm telling you, God was prepared with everything. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. God knew that the bloodline of Jesus Christ was going to run right through Judah. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. He was the bloodline of the coming Messiah. Don't you think? Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Don't you think? And I know what the Bible says, but let me give to you right here what God gave to me when I was going through a dark trial in my life. Don't you think if Jacob would have said, son, Joseph, I love you. I've missed you for a long time. But right now, I'm getting old, and God has promised me this land, and God's going to keep me. I've been through a lot more trials in my life, and this trial right here is not going to drive me out of the promise. But Joseph, I love you. You're doing a work for God. You're in the will of God. But I'm going to stay right here where God planted me. If God can rain manna down for Moses, why couldn't he have done it for Jacob and his sons? He said, you know, I'm not leaving Canaan. I'm planted right here in the house of God. I'm planted in this church. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, just as much as God called this man to pastor you, God called you to be a saint. God called you to this church to be a saint. I'm fired. All these saints that are wishy-washy and floating around every church in Tulsa, that ain't the will of God. People need to quit church hopping and plant their feet and have revival. When people going to figure it out, Brother Marshall? When they going to figure it out? They leaving one problem to go get another. It ain't going to end. Problems don't end. My God. If God rained manna down from heaven for Moses. And I know what the Bible, I know exactly what happened. I'm very familiar with this scripture. I'm very familiar with Genesis and Exodus and the mass Exodus. And all. I'm very familiar with all this. But what if you're telling me if he would have said, no, Brother Jared, Joseph, I'm not going. I'm staying right here where God planted me. God called me out a long time ago in my life to be here, and I'm not leaving now. You're telling me God would have let the bloodline of Jesus Christ die right there in the promised land? Absolutely not. I mean, you might think the only option is to leave, but if you'll just stay on, God will work the miraculous. What looked like a good thing. Joseph said, Daddy, come on. I got favor. I'm in control of the food. I'm in control of the grain. I'll give you whatever you want. I'll give you a life of luxury. You deserve it. What Joseph meant for good. What was meant for a good thing to avoid 5 years of famine turned into over 400 years of slavery. My God, somebody needs to hear that right now. Something that might look like a good thing that'll give you 5 years of relief, that'll enslave your family for the next 400 years. God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Amen. I'm not trying to change the Word of God. Am I okay?
I'm telling you right now, I know everything happens for a reason. But I'm just saying right here what God gave to me. Amen. When I was in a struggle, He said, don't leave. Stay with it. Stick with it. Go through it. You can make it. Amen. Because you don't want just a little relief. Amen. In 400 years of famine, 400 years of slavery come on your family. I'm telling you. There ain't nobody that loves preaching about Miriam going out with a high hand over the Red Sea and the mass exodus and Moses telling them, let my people go, and God giving dominion over a bunch of slaves over the mighty men of Egypt. I love preaching about the Battle of Jericho. I love preaching about all that, the victory that God will give. It's needed and it's right, and we're going to keep preaching. I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to keep loving it. But I'm telling you, we always say, I mean, when they crossed over the Red Sea, we're taking Canaan. We're getting Jericho. God's going to give us dominion. But what we need to say is we're taking Canaan again. Brother Jared, this is a rerun. We already had it once. We're taking it back. We don't need to wander around in this wonder, this wilderness, for 40 more years. Just waiting on something, and just waiting on the right preacher and the right so-and-so and the right whatever. And this drives back to what I talked about the other night. Amen. Restarting, restarting, restarting. We can't keep restarting. Amen. We got to build every service. We got to continue to build, church. When are we going to get tired of laying the foundation? It's time to put walls up. I love preaching about Jericho. I love preaching about all that. But Brother Jared, look at the bloodshed. Look at all the blood that was shed to get the promised land back. I know it all happened for a reason, but there would have been a lot less bloodshed if Jacob would have said, no, we're staying. We're going to have revival. Come hell or high water, we're going to make it. We might not have enough money to pay our bills, but I'm telling you, I know a God that'll provide all of my needs. I'm not leaving the house of God. I'm young ladies, don't you chase a man out of the house of God. Young men, don't you let a Delilah steal you from the house of God. Don't you let a delusional spirit get on you of justification. You better plant yourself in the house of God. I love restoration. God restored me. I was broken when God found me. I love restoration. But my God, why do people have to waste their life and finally late in their life find God again? Thank God for restoration. But you know how you can plant yourself today? Plant yourself in this church. I'm not leaving. I'm dedicating my life. I love God's house. I'm never leaving. I'll die preaching this message. I'm not turning back. My God, it could drop tomorrow. I can never get another preaching engagement. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit on a pew and I'm going to live for God, because I'm not leaving. I'm staying in the house. God may never bless you again, but you got to make up in your mind, I'm not leaving. God may never send you a husband, but you better make up in your mind, I'm not leaving. Young man, God may never send you a wife, but you better make up, I'm not leaving. You bet you may never get the best job, but you better never chase money. You might not make it back. I'm telling you, Moses didn't make it back. Jacob never made it back. Joseph never made it back. He said, but dig out my bones and take them with